Now, will you notice he goes on to say this in verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, we've had that up before. We had that back in chapter 2 at the beginning. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, what you have here is something I think quite remarkable. Now, I recognize that there are two different words that are used for propitiation. I should say this. It's the same word, but a different form of it. The greatest, I think, Greek scholar of all of them, Dr. A.T. Robinson at Louisville Baptist Seminary years ago, says that here the word propitiation is a predicative, accusative in apposition with weos, that is, the Son. So that what the word means, actually, mercy seat. And in the Old Testament, it was the word atonement, and that word meant to cover. And it was a picture of that mercy seat that was in the tabernacle. Now, let me make it as simple as we possibly can. Back in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, there was an ark. And on top of that ark, there was just a top for it. And it was highly ornamented. It was made of solid gold, and two cherubims were up on it, and they looked down at the top of the box. And it was a very beautiful thing, for the ark was made of acacia wood, inlaid with gold, and outside covered with gold. And it was a mercy seat where they met God, that is the nation, in the person of the high priest. Once a year, and only once a year, he came in and he brought blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And that's what made it a mercy seat, because they could only meet God in that way. God loved them, but he just didn't slop over with love and said, you can just come any way. This was the way they were to come to God. And on that great day of atonement, the high priest went in and sprinkled the blood. That meant the nation was accepted for another year, and then they'd have to go through it again. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is called here, as Paul says in the 3rd chapter of Romans, that he is the propitiation for our sins. That means he's the mercy seat for our sins. Jesus is himself the mercy seat because he died down here. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. He's made expiation for our sins so that you and I can come with boldness to his throne now of grace. That throne is a throne of grace because there is mercy there for us. And that is what he did. And that's the way God, of course, demonstrated his love. Now, if you'll notice that the two definitions we're given here of God, it says God is love in 1 John 4:8, and then 1 John 4:16. God is love. All right? That's a very wonderful thing. But do you notice that you can't say God is mercy, and you can't say God is grace? And you can't even say God is justice. You can say God is holy because that's what God is like means. But you can't say these, but you can say God is love. But again, I must say this, God does not save us by love. He loved us, and we don't want to lose sight of that. But friends, God just cannot open the back door of heaven and slip us in under cover of darkness because he loves us. And God cannot let down the bars of heaven and bring us in the front door. God cannot do that. And God will not do that. We have seen so much of shenanigans that have gone on in this nation of ours today. And of course, the judges and the ones that are higher up today have gotten rid, or wanted to get rid, of capital punishment. Why? Because they know that if a man has money or an influence today, that he will not have his life taken. It is the poor fellow. The tragic thing is that we believe today that you can buy justice and influence today. My friend, with God, and though God loves you, He does not save you by love, and He cannot save you by love. God had to do something about the fact that God is holy and righteous, and what He does is right. So God gave His Son to die on the cross for you and me to pay the penalty for our sins, so that a holy God can now reach down and save us. And it's only on that basis today that a holy God can save us, friends. He cannot save us on any other basis at all. So Christ is the mercy seat. Now, that's where God reveals His love. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, He can say that herein is love. Not that we love God. We didn't love Him first. God didn't do this for us because we were attractive or because we were good or because we promised to do something. God did this while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That is the thing that is so important today, to recognize that you and I are sinners, and God loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God did it at that time, and God loved us at that time. But He's made a way for us if we will accept it, and He's made it very clear you'll have to accept it. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You either come His way or you don't come, friends. It's nonsense today to talk about the fact that God is love and everything's going to work out all right. You bet it's going to work all right, because the lost are going to a lost eternity and the saved are going to a saved eternity. That's the reason things are going to work out all right. And are they going to work out all right for you? They will if you come God's way. This is tremendously important.